To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. I like all the ye's. Most of us remember our history and taught about that. And of course, that first winter, some 51 of the 103 pilgrims died. Did you catch the language and the thankfulness and the reason for why those folks in particular were coming here? Maybe that's a little different than a report given allegedly by a fourth grader on the origins of Thanksgiving, and they said, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you know what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. Because of them, we can worship each Sunday you know where. Deuteronomy 8, this part of the Pentateuch, the Torah, the second law is what Deuteronomy means, but reminding the folks before of Israel, before they go into the promised land, to rehearse and remember what God has done. Based on God's covenant, stiff-necked people chastened them in the desert. They disobeyed, but yet God's faithfulness to his people. And in that verse, I had just a wonderful rehearsing and things, some things. Verse 3, the bread and the word, the idea of man does not live by bread alone. In fact, Jesus quoted that to Satan. Our daily bread, a very famous picture. You've all seen that. In fact, a young boy asked his mom, Mom, why does he look so sad? And I think sister or brother said, well, because he doesn't have any peanut butter. But physical sustenance, folks, how much more the spiritual blessing. In verses 7 to 9 that I read, that God's bringing you to a land, just like William Bradford was talking about, teeming with fish and livestock and water, which in our neck of the woods and also in the Middle East, water is very important. But verse 10, the reminder, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God, remembering where our bounty comes from. And towards the end there, verses 17 and 18, the idea that all, God is the source of all blessing. And a warning, thinking that somehow we're going to do this on our own, apart from God. So rehearsing, remembering. And obviously part of that is then the obedience to obviously what God has said, and thankfulness. As one commentator, Eugene Morrill, says, don't let blessing and abundance lull us into a sense of complacency and self-sufficiency. Folks, sometimes as a nation, sometimes we as a people can be pretty proud of what we have done. And this is a time of year when we should remember, obviously, where all this comes from. Well, fast forward from Moses' day and Deuteronomy some 1,400 years, and there's another remembrance. That was Jesus sitting down with his disciples that I read in Luke chapter 22. The ratification of the new covenant, the Eucharist, as we call it. We'll be celebrating that next week, but giving thanks when Jesus took bread and gave thanks, the body, the blood of our Savior, wherein John is called the bread of life. And manna was great, God's blessing, but greater spiritual manna is here. And so what are we remembering ultimately in our lives, thanksgiving, that with Christ coming and offering himself, ratifying that new covenant, That is the basis, folks, of grace. And as Scott played, that's one of my favorite songs, In Christ Alone. And grace, what a wonderful word. Getting something we don't deserve, like manna. You didn't provide the manna. God provided the manna. And that word's used an awful lot, especially in the New Testament, and an awful lot of it by Paul, means unmerited favor. Folks, not getting what we deserve. And one of the, if you saw the words to In Christ Alone, that God's wrath on the cross, when Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Folks, that's a recognition of how bad sin is. We don't get that in our culture and unfortunately in the church. But we can thank God because of His grace and He loved. He so loved sinners like you and me that He gave in that new covenant. In that word grace, then also I like just in secular Greek, not the Greek of the New Testament, but that word means the quality of something that brings delight or pleasure or that wins favor. Sometimes we use that word like a good or gracious wine or gracious words. Very appropriate. That word can mean the benevolence to inferiors and the return thanks. So God's benevolence to sinners like us, what does He ask in return? Ultimately, the return thanks. The same word is used. In fact, the old Greek biographer Plutarch, not necessarily a Christian, obviously, but the worship most acceptable to God comes from a thankful and cheerful heart. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, fast forward another 1,800 years. One of our presidents, President Lincoln, in 1863, speaking about the blessings of in the midst of the terrible Civil War that was going on. But listen to these words as he established a National Day of Thanksgiving. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to His tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to deal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Once again, the language. He didn't say ye, though. Ye Americans need to. But God's providence, folks, the thanksgiving, God's rule in His universe. There's a lot common, general, the universal grace, the blessing on our nation. How much more should we, as Christians, understand the special saving grace of God's blessing, His grace, and should be our return thanks to God. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. All ye people get that? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We're thankful for Your faithfulness with Israel, despite the disobedience, but Your goodness, Your covenant. And in the new covenant, the ratification of God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His body, spilled His blood to satisfy the wrath, Your holy, righteous wrath against sin, so that we might be reconciled with you. During this season of Thanksgiving and on into Advent and Christmas, what a special time with families just in our country. Sometimes folks are a little more sensitive to understanding what truly is the reason for the season. And Lord, we give you thanks for what you have done. And we pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. And all ye people said, Amen. Amen.